Hello everyone. Welcome to Kingdom Talks. Today I'm here with a very special guest, and I'm going to kindly allow him to introduce himself to the audience.
Yes, my name is Pitana Mutana, and I don't know how much you want me to share about my life, but I can quickly give a brief.
That would be
So,
nice.
yeah, I was born and raised in a small country in East Africa called Rwanda, and I was there until I was 19. And from there, I moved to North America. That's where I did my college schooling. And so I've been North America for about 25 years, but now I'm currently doing some mission work in Kenya and in Uganda and also in Rwanda. So that's just a brief about myself.
Thanks for sharing that, man of God. Usually, I like to ask my guests to share with us how they came about giving their life to Jesus, that precious time.
Yes, that's been since 2004. And what happened was somebody started to play an audio Bible. And so even though I wasn't actively listening to it, I was actually sleeping, but they knew I was such a deep sleeper. And so it started to play. I grew up Catholic, and so it's not that I was agnostic or I was atheist. I believed in God, but that's just about it. And so I couldn't really be born again because there was no connection to the Word of God. And so really that was the missing link. And so when that audio Bible started to play while I slept, actually, as the Bible said, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Literally, my heart started to change by the scriptures that were going in me. And so about maybe 3 weeks a month, I used to have my background was so much heavy into rap music. And if anyone knows about rap music, every other word is a cuss word. And I used to enjoy that, because like the Bible says that when obviously we're not born again, the spirit of the world is in us, and we are in darkness. And I used to enjoy that kind of music. And so I hadn't played that music for about maybe 2, 3 weeks. And it's in during that time that the Word of God was going into my heart. And one morning I got into my car. This time I was in Vancouver, British Columbia. And so I went to play this one song. And when it started to play, I almost literally jumped out of the car. And I said to myself, how did I ever listen to this? It was too much for the new me, which I didn't know that was there already. And it's literally that day that I went back into the basement suite and I said, Lord, if there's anything you can do for me, just do something for me. So I had not really an altar call in a church or anything like that. And so that began my life as a born again Christian.
I'm really amazed at times when people share with me how they came about giving your life to Jesus. In different ways, in different settings, in a normal way, because most times people think that you have to be in church. When the pastor will call altar call, you will go there and say a certain prayer. But I've seen people randomly receiving Jesus Christ on a normal day.
It's
It
true.
shows that God is everywhere. God can reach anyone, anytime, anywhere, doing anything. That's awesome.
That's very true.
This leads me to the question of after salvation, what's next?
So after salvation is the reading of the word. And in the book of Peter, it says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God. And I see there is a parallel between a regular birth and a born again birth. And the same way a baby is born with an instant to want to have breast milk is the same really one. For me, what I see is a really true sign of someone who has been born again is their desire for the scriptures. All of a sudden, they can't really put the Bible down. They will devour it as if there's nothing else to eat. So that's really, for me, what I see that, of course, like there are many scriptures that we can look at, but the main one I'm thinking of is Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. That shows how when the church was born after the day of Pentecost, it said that Acts, you know, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which you can see that is to be the word of God, and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I believe that highlights almost really the short formula, if you may say, in the scriptures about discipleship and about what happened when a person gets born again.
So you're saying that after a person receives Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes alive in them, and now the scripture is pretty much their daily bread, milk, right? Because Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds. An unbeliever will not have any interest or desire in the word of God. As you said, when you are born again, your desires are different. No more rap music. You know, your desires are things above. You desire spiritual things, which shows that the Bible is not a normal book. The Bible is a spiritual book. It's food for your soul, food for your spirit. So after salvation, get into the word. Okay.
Yeah, get into the word. And really that scripture, if we stay on that scripture, Acts chapter 42, you see that it says that they continue steadfastly, and then down you see that it was a daily thing in the temple. They had the teachings in the temple, and then they went into their house to break bread and fellowship and then have prayers. But the way for me I see it is that the word of God is food for our spirits. And then fellowship, which was next that they did, is food for our soul. And then breaking of bread is the food for our body. And then a person is really ready to pray. I like to say that unless all those three parts are fed, usually the prayer life is not as strong or as effective as it should be. Because the way I see the soul is that most people define the soul as the mind, will, and emotions. And I believe it's during that part of fellowship, when we are fellowshipping on the word that was taught to us, that then it becomes something we can apply in our lives. And so when there is just the word of God, but there is no fellowship, there is a missing link where you don't know how to apply it, or you don't know really how to see that word become flesh. And then with breaking of bread, of course, we see that it was Jesus said that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so, but also even on a very practical way, there is a way sometimes when a person is even just hungry, plain hungry, where literally that can even also hinder their praying. Of course, you understand we can fast and pray, which I believe in fasting, but there is a way where a person can, when their spirit is not strong enough, because really you need the word of God in prayer. You need to have the word. It's the basis of going to God. And also is not fed through that fellowship with other brothers and sisters, but also with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I see fellowship being double-sided. If that is not there, your emotions are out of place. Where literally the soul can also kind of be in the way of you praying. And then also, like I was saying, this aspect is, I don't see it being talked about much, but you've seen sometimes how people can get into prayer and they start to fall asleep, or they're not motivated. And sometimes we think it's something else that is happening, where it could just be that they are hungry. And so in the early church, we see that these four parts of each one of us, which is the spirit, soul, and body, were fed. And then they had prayers, because prayers, I see them as the work of the spirit. And I see that the other ones, the three, when the spirit is strong on the word of God, and the soul is also at rest, because there's been enough fellowship between brothers and sisters, but also there's also that fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then also the body's been fed. Then people are really ready to engage in much prayers.
This is the first time I'm hearing you, someone breaking down that particular verse in Acts. The spirit, the soul, and the body. That's a very insightful point. I will look into that myself for more details. But thank you, man of God, for sharing that. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. When Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." Most times when people are saved, as you said, they should go to the Word. When people are saved and then you give them the advice of going to the Word, or they don't have a Bible-believing church, they are left by themselves. Like you said, they're children. Children need parents to guide them along the way. That is why Jesus said, when we go out there to all nations, we have to make disciples. Disciple means followers. It means students learning from their masters. So in essence, my question to you is that, because you mentioned the Word of God is the book where we can review, or where we can always look at to guide us in our walk of faith, in our walk with God. In the professional setting, they call it mentorship. In leadership, they call it succession. And then in Christianity, we call it discipleship. In your own understanding, the concept of discipleship, what is it all about? Is discipleship just giving advice to a young believer, or it goes beyond that?
Really, discipleship is basically the disciple is supposed to become like the one. In the context of, let's say, of like what Jesus did, now we disciple people to become like Jesus, not to become like us, but to become like Jesus. And so the word disciple, from how I understand it, is not just the concept of just being a student, but even the dedication aspect of that student. There is an emphasis on how dedicated they are. And there is also an expectation of them to forsake all, to now spend literally as much of their time with their becoming like their master. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying, that it is enough for a student to be like his teacher, and it is enough for a servant to be like his master. And he basically said that it was possible to become like him. And so I see the destination of every disciple, for every believer, is Jesus, to become like Jesus in every way, in talks, in walks, in even in works. He did say that them that believe in me, the works that I do, they shall do also, even greater works than these. And so when I look at discipleship, there is an aspect of dedication that is so much should be a focus, because without the dedication, let's say you see how everyone Jesus called, you could see that they forsook all and followed him. And I believe without dying to self, discipleship is almost impossible.
So are you saying that when you are a disciple, you are owned by your master, or let me, I don't want to use the word own. You belong to Jesus.
That's correct.
You don't belong to yourself
And
anymore.
also, not anymore, because also the scripture says that you've been purchased with a high price, which was the blood of Christ, that we are no longer our own. And so we belong to somebody else. There is so many, life is really almost like a play that plays the whole concept of redemption. Even whether it be marriage or everything else, how a woman goes and she has to let go of her people and basically come and partake of even her husband's name. Everything gets changed. And you see play out in all the different aspects or stages of discipleship, where we go through salvation, then there is the word of God, then you have water baptism. All that is almost like a play in a theater, trying to just show the different aspect a person goes through as they are being transformed to look and be in anywhere and everywhere like Jesus.
So I have this question that sometimes amaze my mind. Can you disciple someone from distance?
I think you can. I mean,
Because Jesus was physically present with his disciples.
yes, I think what comes to my mind is how Paul discipled people out of Ephesus. He said that he sat in the school of one Tyrannus and he taught daily. He was disputing with people, and later he realized that even that he could literally send the power that was working in him and the anointing and the Holy Spirit himself to go even in pieces of cloth to people to heal them, deliver them. And obviously I see them being, because also Paul said to the Romans, he said that I wish I could come to you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that in the end you may be established. So I see that even by the impartation of spiritual gifts, which that all for me, I see that happened with the handkerchiefs being sent to people, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can see them in operation in the lives of those people. And in the end, he said that, and the word of the Lord reached the entire continent of Asia in 2 years. And yet we don't see Paul leaving. Yeah, I can see that maybe the people he taught are the ones who took those handkerchiefs. And so in the aspect of the where we live, let's say I can help people maybe from internet, maybe they will see something like this. But I believe the Holy Spirit will connect them with someone local. If not, I find that God is not limited in his ways of how to do things. Either
Absolutely.
that person will find a way to come all the way to find where you are, or they will continue to learn from you and start to apply, because they're not alone, really. The Holy Spirit is with them and in them. And so I think, because even when you see it's not even the Old Testament model, like the people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you wouldn't say that they really had someone to disciple them. They had to rely on encounters with the Lord for them to grow and know the direction on how to walk with God and serve Him. And so that's kind of what my thoughts are.
I like the fact that you mentioned that we shouldn't limit God or put God in a box, and God can find ways. You mentioned establishment, and the end goal of discipleship is to become. And who do we become ultimately? To become like Jesus Christ. You mentioned in what ways to become like him, how he speaks, how he thinks, how he does things, pretty much in every aspect of life, to become like him. At work, in church, in our homes. We as believers sometimes we only see discipleship in the context of church. And then when we are at home, when we are in the workplace, we don't want to reflect Christ because that place is not a spiritual setting. But when you mention that the idea of discipleship is to become like Jesus Christ. And the verse that I've just read, Jesus himself states in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. To observe all things that I have commanded you. So you cannot do discipleship without the word of God. And I believe that the word of God is so holistic, is the manual for life.
True. The Bible is not even a religious book. People see the Bible as, until you see the Bible, like you said, a manual for life. Really, religious never preached anything. It's the religious people that crucified him. It's the religious people he had an issue with. He was so free with even unbelievers and sinners. And I think sometimes we can get caught up into the same with a certain language that even when you talk to unbelievers, they have a hard time to really even connect with you. And so, but we need to our minds to be renewed to see that the Bible is not a religious book. Because Jesus preached the kingdom. Jesus preached a way of life.
Yeah.
It's like the late Charles Monroe used to say that the whole thing of the Holy Spirit coming, it's about colonizing, the earth, so to speak. That bringing, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the way of thinking of the kingdom, the way they do things, the way they perceive things, how they react to situation and so forth. That we are to have as an embodiment, because really Paul said that you are epistles of Christ, read of all men. So people ought to see us and start to get thoughts going through their minds as if they are reading a letter. But most of the time, we're not aware that we are carrying God in us. As a matter of fact, we are one with him, that our thoughts and his thoughts are all the same. And so I think there is still a side for me, at least what I see from my mission work. There is a way, like you are saying, that where they separate church and any other setting. Just to give a quick example, there's a friend of mine who was saying that, okay, I'm ready for ministry. Okay. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm ready. I'm just waiting for invitations. And I told him, I said, but even now that we are talking, this is ministry. I said that when you go to Walmart, like in America, for those who've been there, or any other place, any marketplace, it's ministry. Anywhere people are, it's ministry.
Yes, yes.
And so sometimes that when you were talking, the scripture that came to mind is how they said that describing Jesus, this was Peter, he said that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so I think it's more actually outside of the church than even it's in the church. And so, because it's about life.
Because the Bible says that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Okay, if we are all in church, we are all the lights. But Jesus sent us into the nation that is full of darkness for us to reflect his light. He said, go to all nations and make disciples, meaning that take a sinner, and that sinner becomes a saint. It's all about kingdom work. God is the king, and he wants a kingdom. And that kingdom is not just limited to the church. It's not just limited to Rwanda, because most times people think that, okay, Africa needs salvation. India needs salvation. Let's go to Afghanistan. But you're neglecting the people who are suffering in Canada. Don't you think they need to be saved and discipled?
Well, the Lord called me to be a missionary to America. And so I spent a lot of years doing mission work. I've been in all the 48 states. And people will get surprised. They say, you're a missionary to here? And I said, well, everybody, people need Jesus. And so, yeah, there is you meet so many, there is many ways of thinking that people can be into by reason of an assumption that has gone on for a long time.
Yes.
Yet for me, even was this last Sunday, I went to preach somewhere, and I was telling people, I said that even pastors, I will not assume that they are born again. I still ask them to be born again if they haven't. Because I just was told when I started in missions, do not make any assumptions. Don't go into a church just because they are so lively, people are jumping up and down, that you think, you assume that they are born again. And really, I started to see so many people getting born again inside the church, ushers, people in position, both here in Africa and even in America. Where even the pastor is surprised, he says that, oh, Becky, I didn't know that you were not born again. And the person comes and says that I've been attending church, I give my offering, I thought this was it. And so it's just, that's one thing that has helped me to never make assumption for anyone. Allow them to be the one to make the confession that I'm born again, not to assume that just by certain actions that they are part of, that they actually have received Jesus. And so
well, so the conclusion and the takeaway from this episode is that, based on what you have said, discipleship is dedication to become like your master, to become like the Lord. To become like something, it takes diligence and dedication. And definitely, that's a key word when it comes to discipleship: dedication. You devote your time, your energy, your attention in what? In the scripture, as you said, in the scripture to feed your spirit, and fellowship to feed your soul and then your body. So what is your last message to those who don't know Jesus Christ and they listen to this podcast? They're saying, okay, I hear about Jesus Christ. As you clearly said, people can go to church as a social gathering, but they have never encountered Jesus on a personal level. Their lives are not transformed. They want more than just going to church. They're tired of church.
What I will tell them is what's found in the book of Corinthians, that I don't think it's emphasized enough, where he says that he has given us a ministry of reconciliation to tell the world that God does not hold their sins against them. And I think that's very liberating, because most people in the world, they think, I must clean up my act, I must do this and that. But yet, that's exactly what Jesus did. He carried the sins of the whole world in his body, took it to the cross. And so he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. If the world could understand that the sin, the only sin, is to not believe in the one who took their sin for them. Because all we are required is to believe in the one who represented us, which is Jesus. And I think that will so tell people. So if there's anyone listening to me and they say, I hear so many different, it's so easy and so clear. It says that if you will believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. And of course, the things we believe deep in us, we cannot help but talk about them. So the Bible says that by the heart a man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made. And why do we have to speak and say, Jesus, we confess you as our Lord? It's because you have to tell Satan that I no longer belong to you. By our mouth, we are condemned. By our mouth, we are justified. Even just in regular anything, you have to say what you believe for people to know. If I used to do something and I want to change, I say, I don't want to do that anymore. And that registers anywhere, whether it be in heaven or on earth or in hell, that so-and-so has said, I don't want this. If you try to force him, now you are tampering with his free choice. And so I think for me, I will encourage anyone to not try to wait to try to become a good person and a better person, because all of us have tried and we know it doesn't work, to quickly give their heart to Jesus and allow him to change them, because he's the only one who can.
Thank you, man of God. If you can kindly dismiss us with a closing prayer.
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all the people who are watching and who will be watching. We pray that they will be impacted. I pray for everyone who has not been born again, who has not surrendered their heart to Jesus, that they will see his love, that they will see that he took their place, that they will see that the cross that was for them, he went on that cross for them, that he has taken away their sin. All that they have to do is to believe in him, that he truly took their sin for them. I pray that your conviction of the Holy Spirit will be upon them to help them, because your word says that if you will hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. I'm asking that for the hearts to be softened to Jesus. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.